But thanks to the be to the God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. 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 Say it again. Amen. Amen.
So let's just say that to each other before we start. God gives us the victory. God gives us the victory. Amen.
Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save.
Jesus, precious Yahweh. Do you believe that there's no one like our God? Do you believe that? Can you get that at your name? Your name. The mountains shake and crumble at your name. The oceans roar and tumble at your name. Angels will bow. The earth will rejoice and your people cry out. And I know this is saying that the people will cry out, Yahweh, Yahweh, but He accepts our crying and our pleading and our weeping. So cry out to Him. Cry out to Him today. That's your name, Lord. The mountains will shake and crumble. At your name, the oceans will roar and tumble. And at your name, angels will bow. The earth will rejoice. Going to end it right there, because I really believe that today you're going to hear that when you cry out to Him, you're going to have that victory that Pastor Karen is going to speak about. There's going to be victory for you today. There might be even something that you haven't thought about. It's been way back there because you don't even want to deal with it. It's too hard. You're saying, you know, I'm just going to be satisfied that I'm not going to get victory over that area. But there is victory for you today. So cry out to Him. Do not be afraid to cry out to Him. Because the victory is yours.
Amen.
The victory is yours. Hallelujah. 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 We're going to continue to worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings as Chris comes to pray over them.
Father God, You are so generous. You give us only good gifts. And everything we have belongs to You. Everything we are belongs to You. The ability to earn money comes from You, Lord. The pleasure of doing our jobs comes from You. So, Lord, we give back just a little bit out of the abundance of what You give us. We give back to You gladly, joyfully, and generously. Amen.
I want us to sing this hymn during this time of victory in Jesus. Do you remember this hymn? Most of you probably do.
I heard an old story how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save someone like me. I heard
Right now, I just want us one more time to sing that, but right now, I want us to really claim that, to claim what he sought and bought for each one of us. We need to have that victory, as Pastor Janet was saying, not just over our salvation, but over every situation we are facing or in the midst of, or loved ones, people that we care for. We are claiming this victory today. Jesus is saying, remember, receive what I have given you, the victory, the victory. And he's saying, thank you, praise you for giving part of the my tithes and the offerings. That's part of the victory that you have, because it is a victory that you know the power in giving, the power in obeying. And he's saying, we're claiming that right now in this time of these tithes and offerings of praise and worship unto him. He's saying, receive what I have given you, the victory. Receive it. The breakthrough is coming. It is already here. It is finished. Now let's sing this with power, with the power that he did for us to receive and have. It is ours. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me, I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. Praise you, God. Oh, we praise you, God. We praise you and we worship you, Lord God. Thank you so much for what you've given us, Lord God. Everything that we have, even the little goodness that we have, is yours, Lord God. And we praise you and thank you. We couldn't even love you if it wasn't for you loving us. You are love. And so any capacity of love is because of you. Oh, Lord, I truly thank you that in this capacity of love, I thank you and praise you for this time of worshiping you, of praising you, of honoring you with your tithes and our offerings that are above and beyond 10% of all increase that we have received, which is yours. Oh, Lord, I truly thank you and praise you that this is yours. We offer it up to you. We are rising it up, this basket, to you, Lord God. And Lord, I thank you and praise you that you know our hearts here at Pathway of Hope, that we want to use it in ways that are well-pleasing to you, not just good, well-pleasing to you in our loving obedience to you. For you know that we want to be a light in this community and beyond. And in that beyond part, I thank you and praise you that even 10% of these tithes and offerings go to missions around the world, Lord. I truly thank you and praise you for your heart for each one of us. May you be blessed, and may you pour your blessings on those who have given unto you with cheerful hearts. Lord God, we thank you and we praise you, for we have the victory. And in that victory, this is yours. Truly thank you and praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I have like a rough morning for me. Have you noticed? but I really messed up on doing the slides, and then of all the mornings that Debbie's gone is... you know, today. So then I rearranged. So we were talking about, that's why we missed that part, because we were talking about, okay, what are we doing for the slides? And then, okay, and then we want this. And poor Eric is going to do, like, during our communion time, the Lord's Supper. So I had that way over here when the song should have been way over here. And so it's not in order. And then somehow I missed the, you know, and it's like, hi, babe. So anyways, it was just like, wow, it's a morning full of, you know, I challenged Carl a lot too, but boy, this was a challenge for the slides for us this morning. And it was like, wow, okay. So let me get rid of this really quick. Do you all are very familiar with that song, Oh Victory in Jesus, right? Okay. And so do you know who wrote that song?
No.
That hymn? It was a gentleman named Eugene M. Bartlett Sr. So I couldn't find anything. I have several books on hymn history. I couldn't find anything on it. And so I was looking up, And I found this gentleman who, it was a really neat scene with a cross behind it and a pulpit with a shining crossing and then a shining crossing behind it. It was like really neat wherever, what church he was talking from. But he was sharing about Eugene Bartlett Sr. And he said he was a very, he was a Christian, came a Christian at a very young age, and was a very successful businessman. God had really blessed him, had you know, poured his favor upon him. And one of the things that he was successful at was a publishing company, and he published like hymn books and things. And the first hymn book that he published was about 15,000, if I remember correctly. They mostly had hymns that he had written. But guess what? The hymn that we know the most, the hymn that we are very familiar with, the hymn that still is sung often and very popular, "Oh, Victory in Jesus." Victory in Jesus. And that was at the very end of his life, after he had had a stroke and he couldn't really talk. But he was saying, praise God, the victory that he had in Jesus. And I thought, wow, Lord, that was incredible to hear about that. Here he was still praising God for the victory he had in Jesus. And see, sometimes we think, well, I'm older, and my life is really passing by. I had these great dreams. I had these great desires. I thought, wow, you know, and when I got saved, woohoo, I'm going to be used by God. I'm going to just do all this stuff. And then life goes on, and you may think, well, okay, now I'm getting older. But you know what? It wasn't till the end of his life, after he had already suffered a stroke and he couldn't speak, that God, it took a long time for him to come up with this and write this, as most songs would come, in the hymns would come very fast, and he'd write it and have the music right away. But this took a while, about a month or so for him to come up with. And look at what, at the end of his life, look at what is still sung today by many. Oh, victory in Jesus. So we are not finished. No matter how old we are, no matter what you're going through, no matter what maybe you've gotten sidetracked, whatever challenges you're facing, you are not done. There is victory in Jesus. It is finished. It is already there, and it's done. And you don't know. It could be one thing. What if all of a sudden you are used by God to pray for somebody? I know, Barbara, you have an anointing of the power of prayer. You are such a prayer warrior. And God is going to continue to use those prayers that you have. It is so awesome. So what if God puts on your heart somebody, maybe even a name you don't even know, but it could be one of your children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren. And then all of a sudden, God is going to move in such a mighty way, taking that prayer, and he's going to move mightily in that person's life. And that's going to be a world changer. You never know with that part of that prayer. Some of us think, well, all I can do is pray. There is such power in prayer. And it takes a lot of energy in prayer. So some of us think that even prayer is not that great. Are you kidding? There is such a mighty move of God in that power of prayer, because Jesus bought that victory for us to even have that power of prayer. That is ours. So how many of us did that suggested homework assignment? Does anybody remember what that suggested homework assignment was last week? It was to read 1 Corinthians 15. I had said how that we have that wow power in Jesus. We were celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And remember in my New King James Version, it had some subtitles over the different sections of the scripture of that chapter. One was the risen Christ, face reality. The risen Christ, our hope, the last enemy destroyed. Effects of denying the resurrection, a glorious body, our final victory. Then I shared some scriptures, verses 20, 54, 55, 56, 58. Christ is risen from the dead. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, Be steadfast. Be four square. Immovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. But what did I skip? I didn't share verse 57. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the New King James Version. The New Living Translation. But thank God, He gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Amplified Version. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory, making us conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. The CEV Version, Contemporary English Version. But thank God for letting our Lord Jesus Christ give us the victory. The Good News Translation. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the New International Reader's Version. But let us give thanks to God. He wins the battle for us because of what our Lord Jesus has done. Now we know we're in a battlefield. We're at war. But we are mighty warriors of God. We are soldiers for Christ. And the one thing that we have is having a heart that is turned to Him. And in that, when we have that, we have the wow power with us. Because God searches the heart, remember? 1 Chronicles 16:9, to strongly support those whose heart are really dedicated to Him, knowing we are imperfect. But otherwise, foolishness, battles will be lost. But that battle that we're in the midst of it, it doesn't matter what we see, it is won. We have the victory. If we're walking in that wow power with a heart that is truly surrendered to Him, we have that wow power over us, in us, through us. Every step that we take, we have that wow power because we are soldiers for Christ. And in that is the power of the spotless bride, totally and completely ready for His return. Totally and completely ready for His return. That is His strong support for each of us. That is because we're walking with hearts turned to Him with that wow power working in our lives because it is finished. Now, the word victory is said 12 times in the King James Version, 42 times in the Amplified, 21 times in the New King James Version, but I was thinking, well, okay, we see that of those, the Amplified has more, right? Well, guess what? We all know that I love the Amplified, right? It's very amplified. And I love it because it goes over all these different meanings, but that isn't the one that has the most of the word victory. The New Living Translation has 112 times the word victory. I was like, thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for the word victory. And thank you for the New Living Translation. Do you remember when we had Living Logos come, Pastors Rod and Jenny Carlson, and they were memorizing the word from the New Living Translation? Well, any translation, God will speak to us. And praise God that even in the King James, it is mentioned 12 times because we need to remember that 12 is a special number too. For there were 12 disciples, 12 apostles. There is power in 12. And we have that wow power that Jesus came for us to have, to walk in, to move in. And no matter what's going on, no matter what I see, it is still there. Victory, the definition of victory, it is the overcoming of an enemy or antagonist. And we have an enemy, an antagonist, that we're dealing with day in and day out. That is promised to us in the Word. Now, achievement of the is another word, the definition. Achievement of mastery or success in a struggle or endeavor against odds or difficulties. Examples of victory: the general led the troops to victory. Well, we have an incredible general. And he knows everything. Amen. He is so perfect. And then the second example is they had never experienced the thrill of victory. See? Have you? Remember, Pastor Janet, you were sharing during worship. Do you really believe? Do we really believe what we have? Because if we really do, we'd be experiencing that thrill of victory each and every day. But unfortunately, some Christians are not walking around that way, of that thrill of the victory that they have. Now, some of us, our hearts are there, but we're just overwhelmed. And that's what we are to not forsake the fellowship of other Christians, because we're supposed to help each other, encourage each other, not judge each other, not point a finger at each other, but instead encourage each other. We have heard Rick Warren's son committed suicide. He had battled with depression for many, many years. He was a Christian, loved the Lord. He just battled with depression, and he lost that battle. And he was only 27 years old. Now, I know that you all know that I was healed of depression and panic anxiety disorder. But for years, I battled it, even being a Christian. And many well-meaning people had said, do this or that, or don't do this or that, or if you really believed, or if you, you know, in this. No, instead, I was thankful for those that, and they meant well, but I was thankful for those that didn't judge me or anything, and they just prayed for me and encouraged me to continue on, and to continue on with that fight. See, Jesus died for Rick Warren's son, and he knew what he was battling with, and he knew that he lost that battle physically here, in the sense that he did die. But Jesus' blood covered him. And he is there with him right now. And he's going to help all the family, the loved ones, the friends that are now dealing with the grieving and the mourning, to help them through this process. But the victory is already there. Just because he committed suicide and lost that battle to depression doesn't mean that the war wasn't won. Because the war was won over his life, his soul. And now he is totally and completely whole in heaven with the Lord. And so we need to remember that we need to not judge, but that victory is there. And we need to claim that not only for our lives, but for others, and persevere. Do not, everything that we're doing is not going in vain. Now, synonyms for this victorious word, victory, victorious, successful, and winning is the definition, as we were just talking about that. So we are successful in winning. So we need to walk victoriously. See, the V is in the receive. We are now on the V of the word God gave us, receive. He is saying, I want you to walk victoriously in me each and every day. For you have victory in my Son, Jesus Christ. Walk in victory each and every day. But you have to receive it. You have to receive what I've given you. And that acronym of the V in receive is victory. And he wants us to walk it, because we have not been doing that powerfully. Walking in that wow power. Not only for our own lives, but for the lives of those that we love and care for. For this neighborhood. For this city. For this state. For our country. And for the world, we need to walk in that victorious power. Now, some of the synonyms, I know I got off a little bit. I said the definition again. But synonyms, we have arrived. I like that. Champion. Conquering. On top. Deuteronomy 28, it talks about we are to be the head, not the tail. Prize winning. I like that one. We got a lot from him. Triumphant. We have this with Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. But without him, we have as what the antonyms are to this word. Victorious. Failing. Losing. Unsuccessful. But we need to walk. We need to continue to receive what he has for us each and every day with our hearts turned to her, towards him, so he will strongly support us. And we will see then him fighting our battles for us and for those that he knows that we care for. Because as, O Victory in Jesus, he passionately is pursuing us. He sought us and he bought us with his redeeming blood. He is seeking after those that are burdening on your hearts, of those that you love and care for. He is seeking them too, and he hears your cry for them. And his blood and his body was broken for them, just as it was for you. And we are walking in that victory. The Greek for the word victory, one of the definitions for the word victory is conquest, a particular expression of victory resulting from receiving, obeying the faith Christ imparts. This word, what does Jesus say? He says, you'll be powerful. You'll do even more than I did, so that I will bring glory to the Father. You will do it in my name, by my name, because my blood was shed for you. It is covering you. And this power of this word is yours. And you're going to do even greater things than I did for Father's glory. But what does it say? It says then after that, in John 14:15, it says, obey my commands. If you love me, you'll obey my commands. John chapter 15 talks about the fruit. Why are some not seeing the fruit? It's because they're not willing to love and obey him. They want to obey part. There's not power in the part. There's power in the whole obedience. It says, and with that example, once again, 1 Chronicles 16:9, it says, when he was fully dedicated to him, God did awesome things for King Asa when he was fully, fully dedicated to him, fully obedient to him. And then we see when he started, oh, okay, well, I'll kind of compromise and I'll work a little bit on this or that. And then that blessing is taken away. Now, God understood and he sees and he understands, and his blood is covering that one. He knows we're going to fail. But the full, complete power that he died for us to walk in is in full and complete obedience. A heart that wants to read this word and consume it and feed on it and live in it and obey it, even if you don't like it and even if it doesn't make sense to you. You're wanting it to be moving in the power that it was originally intended to, not this partial obedience like we see when Jesus is tempted in the wilderness. Jesus is tempted in the wilderness by Satan with the word twisted up, changed up. Jesus comes back with the word that is pure, the way that it was supposed to be, and that is the wow power that was able to defeat Satan. And we're going to claim this over our lives and the lives of others. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says in the Amplified, for whatever is born of God is victorious over the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, even our faith. Once again, I love it. That mustard seed faith, that attaches to his faith. That is what moves the mountains. It's his faith, not ours. I've said this before, and we have this as Acts chapter 3, remember after Pentecost? And Peter and John are walking by like a church, and they see this man who's been lame for years, and Peter goes to him and he says, you know what, I don't have silver or gold, but what I do have, rise up and walk in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And he helps him up. This is what discipleship program is. Once we have seen somebody to know Jesus, and they've risen up to that and received that victory, the power of the blood that was shed for them, the power of the body that was broken them, the power of the name of Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, and they're walking in that, we need to help them to continue to walk in that and grow in that. Our grandson, he was walking across the street the other day, and he's almost three, and Grandpa was saying, okay, Morgan, you have to hold Grandpa's hand. And they walked across the street. And then Morgan, when they were walking back to the house to walk, he goes, Grandpa, you know, he goes, okay, you have to hold my hand. And he goes, oh, no, Grandpa, I got it. And he grabs his hand with his other hand. Like, okay, I got it. No, Jesus is saying, no, grab my hand. And sometimes you need to, you can't say that you got it. I thank you that you think you got it, but you don't. You don't got it. What you really need is me, your Father, to help you walk across the roads of the challenges of your life each and every day, no matter how old you are. But you need to help my hand to hold your hand. And in a resemblance of that is as you being in this word, the purity of this word, saying, Papa, I don't understand, but I'm going to trust you. Because I know that it is your hand, the power of your word, which is written by your hand, by your breath, inspired into others, as you guided their hands to write what it said. It is the living, breathing word of God. It is Jesus in the flesh. It is the word that became flesh, Jesus. It is all of Jesus. This is the power of our Lord God. God, our Heavenly Father, God, the Son, Jesus Christ, and God, the Holy Spirit. This is powerful. And the Holy Spirit takes this as we're reading it, and he takes it in a sense of holding our hands as we claim it, as we use this for the wow power in our lives. That is how we see in Acts chapter 3, verse 16, it says, and his name, Jesus, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know, this man that was lame for years. Yes, the faith which comes through Jesus Christ has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of all. It is not our faith, it is his faith. It is the power of the purity of the word that is in us, the word that is living in us and through us and helping us, guiding us, directing us each and every day. Jesus died for us to be able to have this and to be able to have that power because he gives it to us through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will remind us of things that Jesus has said to us, but we have to be in the word. He will teach us all things, but we have to be in the word. He will guide us into all the truth, but we have to be in the word. He will tell us of things to come, but we have to be in the word. We will recognize his voice, and we will know, and we will be able to discern between Satan twisting it through somebody who's speaking, or is it the purity of the power of the word through what the Lord wants to reveal to us? We, as we are seeking him, he will show us great and mighty things that we know not of. And he's going to reveal more and more and more to us. And that's why we are really strongly recommending everybody to be involved in this discipleship program. Because if you cannot make it Thursday nights, everything is downloadable. We will give you a copy and you can follow along with us. Even if you are not here, we are going to grow together and we are going to encourage each other. No matter how long we've been a Christian, we still have more growing to do. And we're going to help each other. And we're going to help each other to be encouraged to hold that hand of the Lord and not take your own hand and think that you can do it on your own. That is what we're here to help one another. We are going to help each other to walk in that victory. Other definitions of victory. Yes. Wow. Wow. That is cool. Isn't that awesome? Our God is awesome. Yes. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Praise you, God. Victory, the overcoming of an enemy, an antagonist, achievement of mastery or success in the struggle or endeavor against odds or difficulties. Jesus. Jesus's army is rising. Are you going to be one part of that mighty army? But you have to be walking in that victory. You have to receive the victory he already bought when he said, In John chapter 19, it says, it is finished. Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. The victory has been bought for us to walk in, so we can walk in as more than conquerors, in and through him. Are we going to do that? We're starting with a great number, 12. That is awesome. We are part of it. We are part of what God's army is around this world, those whose hearts are truly dedicated to him, winning that wow power and to walk in victory and claiming that victory not only over their own lives, but over the lives of those that God is seeking. And that's everyone who is not truly saved, who is not truly turned 100% to them. Some are backslidden. Some are apostatized. He's seeking them to come back to him too. And we need to have that heart for each and every one. Not only for each other as we're praying and using that wow power for each other, but we're praying for those that he is seeking for. The general led the troops to victory. Yes, being victorious is defeat of an enemy or an opponent. Being victorious is success in a struggle against difficulties or an obstacle. Being victorious is the state of having triumphed. We are in that state, but some of us are not walking in that state. We're to be helping each other. I love the military term of victory. It means final and complete superiority in a war. We have that. In this battle that we have against Satan and his demons, we have that through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. His blood was shed for that, and he rose again from the dead. And that's the power that we are living in. And that victory that we have, we are a successful military engagement because it is finished. We are a success attained in a contest or a struggle or over an opponent, an obstacle or a problem. Yes, we have that success through Jesus Christ. We have that victory. We have that which we, that state of triumph. Romans chapter 8, verse 37. You know Romans 8, remember that one? Remember towards the end it says that nothing can separate us, you know, and you've got a lot of stuff going on, and nothing can separate us from God's love as he is pursuing those that are lost or those that even have apostatized or backslidden, those that have never known him and those that are apostatized or backslidden. So he is pursuing those. And it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 37, yet amid all these things, we are more, no matter what we're going through, we are more than conquerors and gain a surpassing victory through him who loved us. Now, some of us give in to fear. Well, we need to remember we do not give in to fear, because fear is false evidence appearing real. We need to remember that acronym, because that is what Satan often wants us to do, is walk in a false evidence appearing real. No, we have a truth, whether we see it or not, and we have the victory, and it is finished, whether we see it or not. We have the power of this word to claim, whether we feel it or not, it is finished. It is true. We have the victory. Mm-hmm. Now, John chapter 16, verse 33, and John chapter 10:10, and 1 Peter 5:8. Well, it talks about we're going to have trials and tribulations in this world, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, because he's talking about how the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he talks about the lion that's roaming around seeking whom he can devour. But we need to go back into, what did he say? He came that we would have life and life more abundantly, because he knew that it would be finished when he spoke that. And he knew that the victory would be total and completely, that we could walk in every day is in him and through him, and that he was going to die for everybody's sins, not just ours, everybody's. And he was going to die and rise again so all of us could walk in that victory, each and every one of us. 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 54 says, "And when this perishable puts on the imperishable, and this that was capable of dying puts on freedom from death, then shall be fulfilled the scriptures that says, death is swallowed up, utterly vanquished forever, in and unto victory." There is a quote from a gentleman named Irenaeus, and he said it, "The glory of God is man fully alive." Jesus wants us to glorify the Lord. So when we are walking in that victory, when we are walking in the fullness that he's given us, when we are walking in that life more abundantly that he died for us to walk in, the blood that was shed for us, the body that was broken of, the resurrection that he conquered death for us, that is that life full. And that is all for God's glory. This is what we have in him and through him. It's not about ourselves. It is about him. Isaiah chapter 25, verse 8. "He will swallow up death. In victory, he will abolish death forever." Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied are all those who earnestly wait for him, who expect and look for and long for him, for his victory, his favor, his love, his peace, his joy, and his matchless, unbroken companionship. That's Isaiah 30:18. We have that. Christ is returning soon, but it's so important for us to help others to know him and to grow in him, helping them to have the blinders taken off just as we want the blinders taken off. There's more liberty and freedom as we continue to allow the truth, the purity of the word, to take that off of us and go, woo, new revelation, new insight. Praise God, amen, walking in that power, that victory. And then we're playing that for others so that those blinders are taken off by the purity of the wow power of the word of God, which Jesus died for them to be able to have and walk in. His name is powerful, and in his name is the word. And we need to remember that that word is powerful because it is him. It is Jesus. And this will never die. It is alive forever. It is true. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory, making us conquerors through our Lord Christ." I know I said that before, and it is one that I want us to live in that power. I'm going to read to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to first talk to you about some of the subtitles. Now, there are some subtitles that I was looking at from different versions, and I like one of the subtitles is "The Light of Christ's Gospel." What did God give us? The word, John chapter 21. He said that, "But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." The light of Christ's gospel. He wants us to go to the pure word. He wants us to claim the pure word, walk in the power of that word, not alone, not holding our own hand, but holding him. And we will have that conduit, that wow power coming in us and through us and touching the lives of others. We will be that light to others because we have the purity of the gospel in us. Then another subtitle is "Cast Down But Unconquered." Cast down but unconquered. Seeing the invisible. We will see the invisible. We treasure in fragile fragile clay jars is one of the titles. And I want to read to you from the New King James Version. Actually, I'll read to you from the Amplified. I have more written there. "Therefore, this the light of Christ's gospel is verses 1 through 6. Therefore, since we do hold and engage in this ministry by the mercy of God, granting us favor, benefits, opportunities, and especially salvation, we do not get discouraged. We do not get spiritless and despondent with fear. Nope. We're not going to get into that fear. No. Or become faint with weariness or exhaustion. The New King James Version says, we're not going to lose heart. Do not lose heart. The New Living Translation says, never give up. We just heard that in 1 Corinthians 15. We have renounced, rejected disgraceful ways, secret thoughts, feelings, desires, and underhandedness, the methods and arts that men hide through shame. We refuse to deal craftily, to practice trickery and cunning, or to adulterate or handle dishonestly the word of God. We are not going to walk in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully. No. I'm not going to preach that way. I'm not going to teach that way. We are not going to do that. But we state the truth openly, clearly, and candidly, strongly, fearlessly, boldly, as Ephesians chapter 6 talks about. But even if our gospel, the glad tidings, also be hidden, obscured, and covered up with a veil that hinders the knowledge of God, it is hidden only to those who are perishing and obscured, only to those who are spiritually dying, veiled, only to those who are lost. For the God of this world has blinded the unbelievers' minds that they should not discern the truth, preventing them from seeing the illuminating light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, the Messiah, who is the image and likeness of God. For what we preach, preach the gospel always, and if necessary, use words. You've heard me say that. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves merely as your servants, slaves for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, this light, let the light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts so as to beam forth the light of the illumination of the knowledge of the majesty and glory of God, as it is manifest in the person and is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. However, and this one is subtitled Cast Down But Unconquered. However, we possess this precious treasure, the divine light of the gospel, in frail human vessels of earth, those fragile jars of clay, that the grandeur and exceeding greatness of the power may be shown to be from God and not of ourselves. We are hedged in, pressed on every side, troubled and oppressed in every way, but not cramped or crushed. We suffer embarrassments and are perplexed and unable to find a way out, but not driven to despair. We are pursued, persecuted, and hard driven, but not deserted to stand alone. We are struck down to the ground, but never struck out and destroyed. Always carrying about the body, the liability, and exposure to the same, putting to death that the Lord Jesus suffered, so that the resurrection life of Jesus also may be shown forth by and in our bodies. For we who live are constantly experiencing being handed over to the death for Jesus' sake, that the resurrection life of Jesus also may be evidenced through our flesh, which is liable to death. Thus, death is actively at work in us, but it is in order that our life may be actively at work in you. Yet we have the same spirit of faith as he had who wrote, I have believed, and therefore have I spoken? We do believe, and therefore we speak, assured that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will raise us up also with Jesus and bring us along with you into his presence. For all these things, this is a subtitled Seeing the Invisible. For all these things are taking place for your sake, so that the more grace, divine favor, and spiritual blessings extends to more and more people and multiplies through the many, the more thanksgiving may increase and redound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not become discouraged, utterly spiritless, exhausted, and wearied out through fear. No! Through our outer man is progressively decaying, though it is decaying and wasting away, yet our inner self is totally and completely being progressively renewed day after day. For our light, momentary affliction, this slight distress of the passing hour, is even more and more abundantly preparing and producing and achieving for us an everlasting weight of glory beyond all measure, excessively surpassing all comparisons and all calculations, a vast and transcendent glory and a blessed never to cease, since we consider and look not to the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are visible are temporary, brief, and fleeting, but the things that are invisible are deathless and everlasting. We are going to walk in that victory. We are going to walk in the power of Jesus Christ. We can't physically see his blood covering us. We can't physically see the body that was broken for us, but it was. And we're going to walk in that victory. And we're going to walk in that victory for others that need him. I am so thankful that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And there was a time when I was crying out to him because I wasn't walking that assurance of that salvation. We need to pray for those that need that assurance of that salvation so they can walk in the power of the victory each and every day. Jesus died for us, and we need to daily arm ourselves in Christ's victory and be prepared for the daily battle of our heart and the heart of others. We live in the power that his body was shed for us through his blood. His blood was shed for us. His body was broken for us. I'm going to read to you a story. And then what we're going to do is we're going to take time to thank God for what he did for us by once again having the Lord's Supper, that communion time with the Lord, thanking him for what he did, repenting of anything that we are not walking in the victory, but claiming it once again over our lives. Any struggles that we're going, we are going to claim that for our lives. Anything we need to repent of, we are going to claim what he shed his blood for us. And we are going to walk in that power. We are going to do that. But then we're going to write on the cards of every name that you can think of those that your heart is breaking. For those that are lost, loved ones, people in your neighborhood, people that you think of, people that God brings to your mind. You can just maybe write initials or whatever. God knows what they are, who they are, I should say. And so then you write that on the card. Those that maybe are apostatized or those that are backslidden. And then I want you to do that as you write that on the index card. And then we will put this in the bowl. And that blood that we will partake of first, that body that was broken, we're doing it in remembrance of what Jesus did for us. As we partake of that, we are going to pour that over these, because he's passionately pursuing them too. He sought and he bought the names that we are going to put in this bowl. And we are going to break the body that was broken for them. And we are going to pour the blood that was shed for them over this. And we're going to claim that power. And it may not be us that God uses. It may be somebody else. But we're going to pray that our God, who is almighty and creative, will reach the lives of those that need him. Will reach and touch the lives of those that need Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Will reach and touch the lives of those that maybe are backslidden or those that are weak in Christians. So they will rise up and they will walk in the power of the blood that was shed for them, the body that was broken for them, the name of Jesus, the power of his precious holy word that is pure for them, for each one of them. We are going to claim that. And I know that we just did it last week, but we are going to do it again in obedience to the Lord. But I want to read you the story. I joined a a Jewish group, youth group, and for 9 months I spent all my free time researching every major world religion. In the middle of this search, my friend invited me to a Christian conference. At first, I only agreed to go because of all my friends in a speech and acting group where we were going together. And I thought it would be fun to go on a trip. So, however, in my quest for God, the night before I went to the conference, I decided it might help something if I got down on my knees to pray. I had not been taught to pray, and I wasn't sure what to do, so I got down on my knees, crossed myself with the sign of the Christian cross, and said Hail Mary, because I had seen this on television before. And then he says, I said, God, I don't believe you exist, and I feel like I'm talking to myself, but I know you're out there somewhere, and I need help finding you. So please help me. Then I got up off my knees and went to bed. The next day I left for the conference in Texas. When I arrived at the conference, I found out that it was sponsored by the Chinese churches in America who were influenced by the teachings of Watchman Nee. The auditorium was full of youth who were in the middle of a prayer meeting. They were all praying and were crying out the name of Jesus. And I had never been in a Christian meeting before. I thought, oh my God, what is this? It frightened me, and I wondered if I had walked into a cult. I had read in the paper about Waco, Texas. I kept watching these people intently as they prayed and continually repeated the name of Jesus. Something within me wanted to just try and see if I could encounter God. I decided that I would join in. So I cried out from my heart, Oh, Lord Jesus! Do you hear that? I decided to cry out from my heart, Oh, Lord Jesus! Just like they were doing. Suddenly, just by calling the name of Jesus, I was thrown back in the chair. Now, this was a non-charismatic church, so the friends that I was with were a little shocked and looked at me, wondering what had happened. I felt the entire room spin, and although I didn't see Jesus, I felt the presence of the living God, and I knew Jesus was very real. I felt the Holy Spirit infill me. Later, I would read Paul's words in the Bible. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, from Romans 10:13. That day, I experienced the truth of that scripture. Later that night, a clear message of the cross was presented. I yielded my entire life to Jesus, and I have never looked back since. I turned to my friend and asked, How do you spell the name of Jesus? I had never even seen the word Jesus written anywhere before. Someone at the conference gave me a Bible. I started reading it as much as I could before I went home. Before the conference was over, I had written tracts and letters about how to be saved to my parents, all my friends, all their friends, and all their relatives. The wow power had touched his life. I had a Saul-Paul experience. Once I was blind, but now I could see. The Lord knew I was going to face a very difficult situation at home, as he gave me a very radical salvation experience. I knew that I had a very personal encounter with God, and no one would ever be able to talk me out of it. God was more real to me than any person. We are going to claim this over the lives of those who need Jesus as the Lord and Savior. He is calling them. He is sought and bought them with a price, and he is seeking them now. as we and our hearts are burdened for them. And I pray that we will be burdened even more and more for those who need Jesus. And that we will be burdened more and more to grow in Him. To grow in Him and to walk victoriously in Him. To be that spotless bride ready for Him. But that mighty soldier for God. Not only for ourselves, but for the others that need Him so desperately. We are a church that is going to be called to others and are going to be known to others. It is now a house of prayer, healings, and salvation center. And many will come. God will draw many here because of Him. It is for His glory, not for us. It's because He's seeking them and He's putting on our hearts to seek them and to pray for them. And as you are praying for this, I'm going to be praying for you. I'm going to anoint you when you're done putting this in, that God will touch their lives, those that you put in there, and that God will either use you or others to touch their lives and to help them to be saved, because He's passionately pursuing them. Passionately. I remember when I went to go see my uncle and he was dying. And unless there was a miracle, he was going to die. And he had backslidden. Actually, he had really basically apostatized. And he had one time, my aunt thought for sure he was saved. But then he totally went a different way. And we talked a little bit about it. And he believed in I think it was something called like a Big Bang Theory or anyways. And I said, you know, I'm not going to proselytize. I'm not going to do that. And he goes, well, basically it takes faith. And I said, basically it takes faith to have Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But I bet you anything, if I had the time and the research, I could show that this is not true, what you're believing, but I don't. And so I'm not going to do that. I said, you know what? I love you, Uncle, but can I pray for you for your healing? So I did. He allowed me to do that. And I prayed for him. And then I prayed, God, obviously I'm not the one. But Lord, please bring someone into his life. So what did God do right before he was going to take the morphine to go into a coma to die, to pass away? Because it was just so bad. He was so bad, and he knew that was going to happen unless there was a miracle. Right before that, God brings an army chaplain in that hospital to walk by. My uncle served in the army. In Vietnam, he was called up because he stopped taking all of his classes. Girls were starting to be very interesting to him. And so he got drafted. But when he got drafted, he was stationed in Alaska for 2 years. He was in the army. And so he loved that he had that military experience. Well, he also loved people with degrees and high honors. And so God brought the right one. Also, he respected men more than women. So God knew that, understood where his heart was. And so he brought an army chaplain, a man who had been ranked high up, who had the degrees, who had what my uncle looked at, even though God looks beyond that. He doesn't look at the degrees and everything, but he knew where my uncle was, and he knew who my uncle needed because of where his heart was. And that army chaplain spoke to him, and then my aunt said she knew he had received Jesus again as his Lord and Savior. She knew he had returned to him. He had returned to truly having Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And then he took the morphine, and then he died. But that memorial service that I flew back again for was a joyous one, because I knew he was in heaven. And the pastor that was there at the coffin, he said, you know what? If you don't have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then say goodbye now. Because that's the last time you'll see him. He's in heaven, and you'll be bound for hell. But those who have Jesus as the Lord and Savior, this is not. You will see him again. There is a heaven, and there is a hell. And we are going to claim that victory that he did for each one of us and for the lives that he puts on our hearts to write their names in. Pastor Janet. And the ushers, can we pass out the elements for this time of the Lord's Supper that we will partake of together?
Let us go before the Lord, and I'm just going to sing very lightly, O Victory in Jesus. And I want you to go before the Lord and just at your own personal time right now to repent. Your time to seek the Lord, for you are going to be partaking of the Lord's Supper for yourself right now. I just want you to take this time to go before the Lord, asking the Holy Spirit to reveal anything that maybe you're not stepping and walking in the victory that Jesus has given you through the body that was broken for you and through the stripes. Through the stripes that were broken, you are healed, you are whole. And through the blood that was shed, you are washed whiter than snow. We are His. So I want you to go before the Lord and ask the Holy Spirit if there's anything you need to repent of, anything that you need to claim the victory that you have as we partake in the Lord's Supper, the communion. I want you to go before Him and just do a silent time of communion with Him, talking with Him, praying, being led by the Holy Spirit as you hold these elements in your hands.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my life is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion He has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Lord God, we truly thank You and praise You, Jesus, for what You did for us. And Lord, we thank You that on that, at the Last Supper, Lord Jesus, You took the bread and on that night you gave thanks and then You broke it and You said, "Take, eat. This is My body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." Lord Jesus, we now, as a body, together, as Your family, brothers and sisters in Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we break this matzah cracker in remembrance of what You did for us, Your body that was broken for us. Thank You, Jesus. And by it, we are healed. We are made whole, and we are claiming that. We are claiming this victory in Jesus' name. Thank You, Jesus. Let's partake together. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You. I am claiming this healing power over each and every one of us. Thank You, Jesus. One day we will see anything that we're challenged with. We will see that manifestation of what You've given us. Your body was broken for us. And we thank You and praise You that by Your stripes we are healed. You came to heal every single disease. You came to make us whole, and we are claiming that in our lives. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You. Thank You. And Lord, I thank You, Lord Jesus, for the example of this new covenant we are under. At that Last Supper, you took the cup, which You said, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood." And then You instructed that when we do this, we are to drink it. And every time we drink it, we are to do it in remembrance of You when it is in representation of what you did for us. So we truly thank you and praise you. We lift this up to you, Lord Jesus. We thank you and praise you for the blood that was shed on the cross for each one of us. For that blood cleanses us of all unrighteousness, all sin, and we are the righteousness of you, Lord God, our Heavenly Father, in and through that blood that was shed for each one of us. There is power in that blood, and we are claiming that power over our lives right now with hearts that are totally and completely repentant and turned to you. We thank you for what you did for us. Let us partake together in remembrance of him. As we write on the cards, we're gonna. Pastor Janet's gonna sing a song, and then we'll just take that time to write any of the names. You can just do initials. You know, God knows what you're putting down. You could just put neighborhood or whatever. You know, just put it down, and go ahead and put those names down, or whoever God puts on your heart. And then, when you're ready, Pastor Janet's gonna be singing just a couple worship praise songs during this time. And I want you to come by, and then you're going to take the blood. There's a whole cracker here. So you're going to place the index card that you have written on in here, and then I want you to break it. His body was broken. And so I want you to break it over that, and you can turn it upside down if you don't want anybody that walks up behind you to see, you know. So, And then I want you to break that, and I want you to pour then the blood. You are representing what Jesus did. So you're breaking in remembrance of what he did for you, and you are pouring the blood, the new covenant, what he did for you as we just received. But we now are putting this for them. So we're going to claim that whether he uses us or whether he uses somebody else, we are claiming his love that he died for. And that he wants them to walk victoriously in him. So we are going to put that in there. Yes, okay. So, and then what I would like is the worship team, you to be first, please. Prayer altar ministry. I'm sorry. So, Chris, you know who that is, the prayer altar ministry. I would like them to come up first to do it, and when Pastor Janet. And then we're going to still even have the prayer altar ministry, the power of the prayer time, as we're doing this together.